Lovers, I want you to play with me. I also would love to know who you would like to see me play with. If there is an LA-based adult creator you'd love to see me collaborate with during my 52 days of play, please let me and or them know. From April 30th to June 21st, I am doing solo, partnered, in-person, and virtual explorations and co-creations every day, and I would love it if you joined me. Details are all on my website at yole.com/52. That's yole.com/52. Hello, lovely humans. I'm Wyo Lee, and you are listening to Sex Stories. Oops, I mean X Stories, a podcast where we learn about people's personal parts and landscapes by sharing experiences and noodling on connection to spread ripples of love across the planet. And our guest today is a queer, freelance, poly, artsy, kinky, and forever discovering human who uses she and him pronouns and is into roleplay, percussion, like being a drum, following whatever is in the moment, play parties, group sex, exploring new connections and dynamics, as well as traveling all over the globe performing improvised musicals, and you can find him acting in film, television, animation, and more. Born in Northern Germany and currently residing in Los Angeles, welcome Giovanni.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Wyo.
I am so excited to finally have you, because this has been a long time in coming. We discussed it quite a while ago, and now here we are in the flesh. Would you please start out by telling us, if you had to rate yourself on a sexual shame-o-meter with 10 being so full of shame and 1 being like, I don't have any shame, where do you fall today, right now, and when, if ever, does it get squiggly?
Oh, I would say 4.
Okay.
Yeah. I enjoy sex so much, but I have a lot of toxic wiring from growing up Christian. So even in like some moments where I'm like, I have healed, then some stuff will creep up that I'm like, why do I feel, oh, okay, some things to process.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That is surprising, because I do know, like, we've talked about sex a little bit just in the world.
Yeah.
And I never would have guessed you as a 4. So.
Yeah. I think it's like, I think sometimes I behave in a way that feels like a 0. I think I'm at a 0, but I think the truth might be 4 or higher.
So 0 passing, but.
Yeah, 0 passing. I think a lot of people would assume 0, but it's just, it really isn't. And I think there are moments where I'm alone or I'm thinking about how I approach intimacy, and sometimes a lot of the expectations that I have are coming from this idea that there's like a soulmate that God had intended for me, and that's somehow attached to my destiny, which I don't believe, but in my core wiring, there's like something that goes when a person isn't responding in a way that I want them to or something like that. And I'm like, okay, I think I have some idea of where that's coming from.
Okay. When that comes up, when you notice it, it sounds like you are aware of it at some point.
Yeah.
What sort of conversations do you have internally, or how do you kind of like process it or deal with it? Or are you just like, there it is again?
I try to be really gentle about it. There was a movement class that I was taking in college where the teacher was saying, if you notice something about your posture or the way that you carry your body that you want to change, or maybe your body is off balance in some way, don't immediately try to correct it, because you'll overcorrect and end up doing damage. And I think I carry that kind of mentality over, where I'm like, okay, I'm noticing that maybe this is why I'm feeling upset. I see it.
Yeah.
I see it. And I don't try to immediately fix it. Maybe I try to art about it. Maybe I try to journal. Maybe, you know, or like every once in a while, like if I need to act out, you know, do something that's like maybe not a super healthy behavior sexually or otherwise, sometimes I will let myself do that, knowing that that's what's happening. Okay, this is a coping mechanism.
Yeah, conscious
this
coping.
This is a reaction.
That's
yeah.
A thing. That's a
and
thing.
That's like, that's okay. If I'm not hurting anybody, yeah. I'm like, okay, this is what I need.
Beautiful. Do you want to talk about shame around your family? Like, does it go up if you're around them?
No, actually, I don't think so.
Okay.
It's not like, oh, we talk about everything. And like,
yeah.
I think everybody's pretty private, but no, I'm out to my family. I don't think my shame goes up higher around my family.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Does it squiggle, or are you like a constant 4?
Oh, it's a squiggle.
Okay.
It's absolutely a squiggle. I think like, and it's not at the forefront. Shame is not at the forefront of my mind all the time. I think it's also like, I won't put it all on Christian upbringing. And honestly, like I say upbringing, but like I stayed Christian and like heavily involved in church well into my 20s. So it wasn't just my family sending me to church. Like this is something I continued to choose into adulthood, okay. Which I don't subscribe to now, but also, you know, I have shame about my body, which comes from, it's like American culture, Western culture stuff. That's like unavoidable in the society. So I feel conscious of my body, not all the time, but like sometimes I'm like, oh, this isn't how it's supposed to be. You know, this is, oh, like my worth is lower because such and such a thing, which at the forefront I know is not true, but like we have so much, there's just so many messages coming at us and the imagery and the casting and the, you know, this is like,
I sure do.
But similarly, it's just like, okay, I'm noticing this. At my core, I know that like my body rocks and that I'm okay, but you know, stuff creeps in.
Yeah. Yeah. If you guys aren't watching the video, Giovanni's a smoke show. So
it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us how you learned about sex.
There was a sleepover when I was in fourth grade where I learned so much. I learned what sex was the same night I learned what snowblowing was. Like,
wait, do I know what snowblowing is?
Snowblowing is when you pass cum from mouth to mouth.
Oh yeah. Oh, I've never done that. Do you?
No, I don't think I have. I don't think I have.
I think I've kissed with cum in my mouth, but not like, here you go, I'll take it back.
Yeah,
you
know? I don't think I've done like
Is it between two people or is it like a circle? Like, do you need more?
I think that when it was described to me, it was described with two people. Okay. But I'm sure you could group like snowblow.
Wait, snowblowing?
Snowblow.
Snowblowing. Oh, yeah. I thought snowballing. Oh. I thought snowballing would be like really white balls like on my face, like a tea bag, but I don't know. Okay, so in the same night you learned about sex and snowblowing.
I said, people started talking about sex and I was like, you guys, I don't know what the big deal is. Sex is just kissing, laying down. And they were like, girl, sit down. I was like, what? And they're like, we're going to tell you everything. And then this is a big party, probably like 18 girls.
Whoa,
and everybody put into the pot everything that they knew. And some people knew a lot of stuff. Some people knew some stuff.
Where did you grow up?
I was born in Germany. Both my parents were in the military. So I lived in Hawaii, San Diego, Seattle. Okay. And this was in like Seattle area.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So they knew some stuff.
Damn. Knew some stuff.
But also, how cool would it be if it was like a fourth grade slumber party sex ed show? You know, I mean, maybe with some supervisions. What, did you learn helpful stuff or was it like, what was your reaction to that too? Like, what do you remember thinking and feeling and understanding?
I remember a feeling of my brain opening up when they were describing to me, and this is not how I would define sex now as penis and vagina, but that was our limited knowledge of the time. But when they were like, the penis goes into the vagina, it just that feeling of like, what? It was, you kind of black out a little bit because it's like, I remember didn't being like, know.
No, it couldn't.
I didn't
could
know
it?
Like bodies go into other bodies. That's so, it's, you know, not having the vocabulary, but it's like, it's so intimate.
Yeah.
It's so intense. Like the idea of like holding hands with a boy at that time or with a girl was like, a big idea to me. And so that was just like, whoa, there's so much I don't know. The world is really like opening up to me. After that, where else did I learn about sex?
Well, wait, did it come with any meaning or context? Like, was it like a big deal? Did you know it had to do with like love or babies or religion stuff? Like what else did they teach you about sex?
Well, I knew we weren't supposed to have it till we were married.
Okay. Okay.
And that there was one man God had intended for you.
I see.
And this future husband idea was huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
I remember being so excited, though. I was like, someone out there is going to have sex with me. Like at a pretty young age before I really understood. I was like, and when I'm 20, it will happen. Like,
I was like kind of a sexual child. Like, I was like very interested in connecting in that way. And I was very interested in the idea of force because I think because it would allow me to have an experience without the shame of having made a choice.
Yeah.
And so that was like something that I would fantasize about frequently because it was just like, if you were to have sex before you were married, then you're ruined.
Yeah.
And this destiny that you have for this future husband is also ruined. So like you have ruined your life if you step outside of that.
You choose it.
Which is just like, so, it's too much. It's too much.
Yeah.
And there were people, you know, within that culture, there are people like, oh, my wife will not have divorced parents. I'm sure of it. And my wife will never have even kissed another person.
Oh, damn.
Our first kiss will be on our wedding day. Yeah. And it's just like, this is a lot of pressure, of like purity culture stuff.
Especially for those of us that have a lot of desire and curiosity and love touch.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a sex ed lesson in school or talk from your parents?
There was stuff in school, which I appreciated. In church, there was like, it was like virtue, so they called it. They would like separate all the girls and the boys to specifically talk about sex. And I mean, it was about keeping your virginity, but also we were able to ask about like tampons and if sex hurt and like pregnancy. And we could like ask all of those questions. And that was very helpful, okay. Honestly.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What else from your early years feels like important formative pieces?
When I was in high school, I had a couple of unrelated friends that I explored with sexually on a platonic level. And I think that was really important. I think that that kind of safety opened me up for very fun exploration. I can be anxious attached and want people to like love me. And it's like, oh, these people already love me. They already love me. There's nothing to prove. There's nothing to earn. There's nothing that I have to like do, which is something that I still struggle with, like feeling like I have to like show how much I'm worth in a lot of situations. But this was just like, hey, like you haven't had a lot of sex. I haven't had a lot of sex. Let's just like see what's up. Let's see what's fun. Let's like try things out. And that was really great. I'm very grateful for those experiences with people that I trusted.
Yeah, that's really cool. Do you want to share details from any of them? Or were those your first experiences?
It's not how I lost my virginity, but I started getting reports as early as then about noise. That my sex noises are pornographic and like don't seem authentic, which isn't true. Like, well, I mean, well, how they're perceived is like totally. How they're perceived. But I know that because I don't really hear them, that it's not put upon.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't have a problem acknowledging when I am being performative as a performer. I think I recognize when, like, I'm putting on a little show.
You're like, I'm performing. Why aren't you paying me?
Yeah. But it's like,
I'm an artist.
No, I'm like, these are noises that I'm making truly, authentically. And like, I remember that when I started hearing that feedback, I made more effort to watch porn, which I wasn't really doing at the time because I was like, what am I doing? And I was like, oh, I guess I do kind of sound like that. But it wasn't like trying to sound like the people I heard in porn. That's just like how I sound.
That's so interesting. I recently had a conversation with a dude friend kind of on this topic because he was like, oh, I think she's doing performative noises with me. And I was like, how do you know? Like, what do you mean? He's like, because it sounds like porn. And I was like, sometimes porn people are really having sex also. And sometimes I don't know what the fuck I sound like. You know, my formative experiences were very quiet because I was masturbating in the secret, you know, and so my origins were just quiet because I wasn't making noises. But then when I was like, oh, I can, now I don't know what's happening most of the time. But
yeah.
Like, maybe I should put a recorder.
I love recording audio.
Do you do
that? I'm so auditorily stimulated. Mm. I think the part of why I make a lot of noise is because it turns me on, like, just to have an interesting soundscape.
Yeah.
I'm not like, Not composing notes.
It also tickles our vagus nerve. Like, that's a big part of it. The breathing, the moaning, like, it gets a lot of people literally off, you know? So, especially for pussy owners who are like, you know, if we're holding our breaths, if we're not connecting, but also to ourselves, to our bodies. And so, like, having that breath and that, like, any of that vibrating, like, can control. Yeah, if I'm ever having a day where, like, I'm, you know, sometimes, especially if I'm on my period, like, I'll be really horny, but it'll be harder for me to come, or like for even for myself in a masturbation. And so then I just add some sound and I'm like, yeah, there we go.
Yeah. When I would tour internationally, I would hook up a lot, and I kind of liked collecting accents. I put it in my dating profiles. I'm like,
they hey, were
like
warned.
American in Los Angeles, American from Los Angeles, here performing in a musical, trying to hook up with as many accents as possible. Message me which one you got. If I don't have it, I'm like, let's
I
talk.
Love that. Like, accent bingo.
Yeah, and so people were just like, oh, I got this one. Like, I'm like, oh, fun.
That's so fun.
Yeah, I liked it. But like after sex, I would record the pillow talk portion. It's and so I just have like this wonderful collection of people from around the world who are totally relaxed into having just had sex with me.
That's so hot.
And it's such an interesting energy.
Do you still have that?
Yeah.
Do you ever masturbate to it?
Yeah. Yeah. There was like, I was recording the conversations, but there was one time we ended up having like a part two or three, which is like started having sex again.
Okay.
And so I have like the conversation into like
I love that round
being
two.
Eaten out oh. And like orgasming again and then having sex. I mean, it's really special, sexy. Honestly.
Wow. Okay, so when did you like start touring the world performing? How hot is that?
Around like 2017, 2018.
Okay.
And I started getting sent to other countries.
That's so cool.
It's really cool. And it was something that I, not having any plan for, I had set an intention for more international travel. So it just like didn't feel like I had been enough places.
Yeah.
And then like, then it just like started getting invited to perform in all of these like different nations. And I love work travel.
Yes.
Because it's different when you're like, being surrounded by locals who are also working on the show, who know where to go, and you're like having daily conversations. And I like absolutely love work trips.
Especially when it's like there's the creative element in it. How often do your improv songs include sexual situations?
I mean, it's improv, so it's as often like as we want them to.
Right? But like, I'm like, I would make up sexy. Well, I do. I make up sexy songs all the time, but I'm usually by myself.
A few weeks ago here in LA, I did an improvised Saltburn musical. So it's like, we know it's going to be Saltburn, but the audience tells us like what kind of things they want to see in the show.
Okay.
And then we do an hour long improvised musical version of it. And so I was in a duet with the main guy who does like the Red Wing scene outside of the growth scenes movie.
I haven't seen it. But I have had people tell me about it a little bit. But fill in our audience in case they haven't seen it.
Well, I'll just tell you that in this scene outside of a castle, someone is eating someone out on their period.
Yeah.
And we wrapped that scene. And it was so fun. I was just like, wow, I can't believe like this is what my life includes.
Dude, that's like amazing.
Red Wings rap.
So by the time you were traveling internationally, it sounds like you were already pretty open sexually. Will you fill in the gaps for like, when did you start to, like, how did Christianity fit in with like you becoming sluttier?
Well, I was already having sex like at the end of my tenure as a church leader. But once I was out of the church, I really wanted to explore my queerness more than I had, because that was complicated. Yeah. And a lot of why I had to leave the church, like it wasn't entirely my choice, but I felt like a late bloomer. I'm like 24 at this point, which like is not actually that old, but I was at the time, I was just like, there was a lot more biphobia at that time, bi stigma within the lesbian community, just like not trusting that bi women like could be, you know, trusted to stick around or right. like things like that. It's not that it's gone, but pretty prevalent then. And I was scared, but so committed to exploring more of my queerness. And I do well internationally. I do okay in LA too.
I was going to say, I was talking to you before this and it sounds like you're doing great.
I do fine in LA, but like internationally, like a lot of places they've never met anybody like me. They've never seen anybody like me. I'm like, I'm Black and Filipino mixed. I'm like American, which comes with a certain amount of like confidence and like I'm also in your country performing, which, you know,
hot.
Like
hot. It's hot. You've got beautiful hair too. I feel like oh, people really like hair.
Oh my gosh. Like people, like a lot of places have never seen hair like this in real life. It's like, I am a special mix, but like, I remember like meeting a group of Norwegian guys who just like stopped what they were doing and were like, ah, wow. Wow. Your hair, your skin, your... And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
I'm just saying, how was that for you?
You guys have like such beautiful people. And they're like, we've seen it. They've seen it.
They're the same.
You though, so special. And it's like, honestly, I know that, it's like valid. People don't want to be, what is the word? Like exoticized?
Tokenized.
Yeah, there's like, but sometimes it's like, I am special. And I feel like I've seen people that I'm like, whoa, that are striking to me because it's so different from anything that I've seen before that it's just like, I think maybe even like from an artist standpoint, it's like, would I could paint this face? Like, I get it. Not every situation is going to feel safe in that way, but like, in this one and in many that I've experienced, I feel okay. I'm just like, I get it.
I have a lot of leeway if I'm feeling properly worshipped.
I don't know. And it's like, I have enough confidence to be like, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Well, and I experience a big difference because I am here in Los Angeles and I walk around on the street a lot and I get a lot of attention wherever I go in the world, you know, and there's a big difference between something like, you're beautiful, and someone being like, hey, hi, ooh, blah, 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 you're kind of good looking, blah, blah. And I'm like, whoa, you know, and so I'll respond very differently to those, you know, if I can feel genuine appreciation or what I perceive to be genuine appreciation, I'm like, thank you, worshiper, I do feel like a goddess.
So there was a time between when I left the church at 24 and like starting to tour and stuff around like 28, where I just like really just had to throw myself into more queer hookups, queer relationships. I was also like feeling open. I had had a long-term relationship with someone who was very, very into BDSM. And I had always felt open to it. But like, this is like the person that I have loved the most in my life. And on our first date, I commented on something from his profile. I'd met him on OkCupid. And I was like, and the questionnaire, you said you have a foot fetish? You're joking, right? Because I just hadn't been exposed to that in directly yet. I was like, you're joking, right? Or that was like a mistake. And he was like, you have a problem with that? And I just felt so sure in my body. I was like, No. I didn't know until he asked me like that. No, I don't have a problem with that. Why would I have a problem with anything?
Wow.
And that was like when I started subbing.
Really?
Yeah. And so I got to explore so many different things within that power dynamic. Like I just got to multiple times a day just try anything I could think of. Wow. And that just helped me in my journey of just being willing to explore.
Yeah.
And so I had a certain amount of discomfort around like how I was being perceived by like other queer people for just like feeling like I was late to the game. But at my core, I have always had a spirit of exploration and discovery. So I was like, okay, come what may, maybe I'm judged, maybe I'm shamed. I have to say the things I want. I have to try everything.
Oh, I feel that so hard. I would love to hear what you explored in that relationship that stands out to you or what was opened up for you. But first, I would love to hear also, when did you realize and how you were queer?
I knew that I liked boys and girls when I was in kindergarten. And I had two best friends, one of each of those genders. And I recognized that I had a crush on each of them. And I didn't know if that was weird or not. And then around like fourth grade again, I overheard my older sister talking to her friends, and they were talking about a boy at their junior high who was bi. Mm. And I interrupted their conversation to ask, what's bi? And they were like, oh, it means you like boys and girls. Oh, the angels were singing. The light was shining upon my face. The heavens opened. Because I was like, there's a word for it. Wow. If there's a word for it, that means that there are enough other people who feel this way that there was a term that was coined. And that makes me feel so good. And also like gives me like a path that I understand that I'm on. So kindergarten, then fourth grade. And then I had my first girlfriend, like, relationship, not just like fooling around or hooking up, around like 24 when I left the church.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you learn in that relationship? And then we'll go to the kinky one.
Honestly, I learned a lot about abuse.
Oh, shit.
Okay. I know. Sorry. It's like,
No.
Like verbal and physical abuse that has taken a really long time to understand because I didn't, you know, there's like, oh, like I have these ideas that like, oh, I'm like, a man shouldn't be yelling at you, or like a man should not hit you. These are things that like I understood. But when that was happening within a lesbian relationship, I found it so difficult to identify like what I was supposed to do. Cause I was like, she is stronger than me by a lot, but like technically we're evenly matched like that. Well, I think that was what was told to me when I tried to like tell somebody about it. Fuck. So like, well, like there can't be domestic abuse in a lesbian relationship because you're physically matched. And it's like, okay. But it's just like, it's my first girlfriend. I just didn't get it. Even during I was navigating, you know, what does it mean to be cared for? What does it mean to, you know, experience a connection in a healthy way?
Yeah.
And I just read a book in the last like 2 months called In the Dream House by Carmen Machado. That's a memoir that mirrored so much of the relationship that I was in that I felt like I was not reprocessing, but like starting to process things from that relationship from so many years ago by reading this book and being like, oh yeah, that was fucked up.
Yeah.
That was fucked up.
Yeah.
Aesthetically, I learned more about like a certain type that I am attracted to. Mm. More like androgyny and like mask leaning, muscles, tattoos, yeah, things like that. And a woman, I asked my friends recently, I was like, do I have a type? And they were like, across the board. It's really like truly across the board. Gender expression, ethnic background, like talents, interests, professions, like all over the place. But I had to like a studly woman. It cannot be denied.
I get it. My first lady love was like, she made me feel little. Like she was just like a beautiful Amazon. And then, yeah, I mean, I relate to, there are new experiences we have where it's like, we don't know the ropes. And also early relationships. It's easy to fall into stuff where we don't know better, especially in a world that doesn't really have norms, but people pretend like there is a norm. And then the norms we learned are oftentimes from our religion or like drippings of a religion, and it's like very muddled, and there really aren't baselines, which is the more that I interview people, the more I'm like, oh, that's why we're all confused, because we're all a little traumatized in these different ways, you know, and we do our best to figure it out.
We do our best. Ugh, doesn't it get exhausting fucking healing?
Yeah.
I am so interested in taking a break from growing.
But I wonder if it's also because our world looks so different from how humans evolved. We're not in the groups. And if you read some books, they talk about how, you know, the group community is a big part of the like healing process, you know, and it sounds like culture is changing a lot with the online dating, but it sounds like you were navigating OkCupid at least. And is that how you were primarily meeting people?
Well, first girlfriend, that was like at the gym. We met at the gym. That's but yeah, hard. Then I was like, ended up OkCupid, Tinder, Field.
Yeah.
Chronologically.
I will just say, I don't know if I say this on pod enough, I hate Field. I don't like the company. They took away advertising. I got some bad communication. It's a glitchy app. I know that all those, like, the poly queer people who come on here are basically advertising for them. I hate it. Mm. Like, I hate Field. Mm. I'll just say that.
Sure.
Because I don't think I've actually said that out loud before. And every time it comes up, I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to help them. I hate them. Forget apps for a second. But what, in general, makes you excited to connect with a new human in your life, like, intimately? What do you look for in a partner? What's your kind of like criteria or what's your sifting method?
Sometimes I wonder if a lot of my attraction is timing. Like there's certainly something if it feels like, oh, this is something I've never had before in like the bingo of it all.
Totally. I'm just a novelty seeker.
That's different. Oh, never done that before. Let's see what's happening.
It's an irresistible invitation. That's my theme of 2024 is like giving and receiving irresistible invitations. It's the new bar. Like, yeah. Is it really exciting? Is it something that's for me in this moment? You know? And then doing my best to extend that to people I want to connect with, right?
Yeah.
And trying to make it as yummy as possible and be thoughtful. Because I think there is so much like, you know, pushing widgets or just like, I'm here. You know, you show up. And I'm like, well, I need a reason, like, you know, and if someone's like, I like feet, like I have a, okay, here's the question about your foot person, your foot relation, your foot fetish relationship.
His name is Foot Dom.
Foot Dom. It's not. Foot Dom. We'll call him Foot Dom. So this Foot Dom of yours, did you ever, my fantasy is to have like a fancy dinner with a white tablecloth and play footsie underneath. Did you ever play footsie at dinner? Or like, how did the foot fetish stuff express? Like, what did you do with feet? Or was it your feet?
It was my feet.
Okay.
Little foot worship. He did this thing where I was blindfolded and he was stabbing me between my toes with an object that I couldn't identify that honestly felt like a knife. Which freaked me out. And I was like, I need to know what's happening. And like took the blindfold out.
I would safe word out of that.
Yeah. And he was like, it's a toothpick. It feels like a knife, right? And I was like, yeah, it felt like a knife. It did feel like a knife. You got me. All right. Proceed. So it's like, there's so many things that like, I don't mind doing. It's like, that didn't do anything for me. It didn't do anything for me. But it's like, you're having a good time. I like you a lot. That's fine.
So you're not like a super sensation seeker or does it just depend? Like,
sensation,
are there other?
I love sensation. What kind of sensations do you like? I want sensation.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked a little bit about the percussion.
I love being drummed on. I've had that once, but it was an actual drummer and I was like, will you play drums on me? And he was like, sure. And then he did not give a shit. Like he was very bored by it. And I was like, more, more, more.
I love it. I think. Okay, talking about people we're attracted to. I think that I like bass players. If we're talking about like when you see a band on stage, I don't know if this is a normal thing, but I usually like pick which one's my favorite.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
I usually imagine an orgy.
A lead singer. Oh, good for you. I'm like, they probably have such complicated dynamics.
Probably.
Like,
no, you're right.
Three
you're
of
right.
them are fighting.
Okay,
like,
maybe
who
just
knows?
A train.
One of them never showers. It's just like, ugh. But I'm like, okay, lead singer, like, gonna be egotistical, gonna be not trustworthy. Similarly, lead guitarist, like, probably really into themselves. Keyboard player, gonna be too intellectual. I'm gonna be bored. The drummer is gonna be, I'm sorry, like, unhinged. Animal from Muppets, I think, is like such a good representation of drummers. Animal, nah, woman. So unfair, such an unfair judgment of drummers, but like, and then like a bass player, chill, trying to be cohesive with the group. I like the rhythm section. Gonna be just like, you know, that doesn't need to be the star. Just getting into the groove, getting into the pocket, in the moment, in the music. And I think I like bass players. But the people that I feel really attracted to, I find out later, are drummers.
And so, are they like animal?
Yes.
Like, are they like animal when they play your ass? I'm imagining on your ass. Are there other places?
No, they're, it's very, it, honestly, pretty much every time it's been pretty, it's been quite controlled.
It doesn't,
the person is often unhinged, but the drumming is not.
So does it like, you find them, you're attracted to them, you find out you're a drummer and you're like, will you please play my ass? Or how does it go?
It's gone a different way every single time.
I mean, that makes sense.
Probably the first time it happened was like, with a partner, we went on a trip and they had brought a drum, and then like it ended up just like it was a djembe, and like the djembe moved and my body moved in, and then I ended up getting played like a drum till I came a bunch.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Because I like getting spanked, but I've never like, and I'll get really, 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 really like wet and aroused, but I've never like come
from getting drummed on. And then, like, I think then probably the next time.
Cum drum. She's a cum drum.
She's a cum drum. The next time I was at a play party and, like, I was getting spanked by people who were in a line to spank me. And then, like, I felt, I could tell from the way that the person spanked me. I was like, are you a drummer? And he was like, yeah, I am. And I was like, okay, thank you, everyone. And I was like, let's go over here. And will you drum on me? And he was like, sure, yeah. And so he like drummed on me at the party until I came a bunch.
Oh my God, so that's how
that
so
one
cool.
happened. And then another time I was in a music studio with someone, and things were just like, we started making out while we were in there, and there were multiple drum sets in the room. And I ended up at one point just like bent over a drum, and this was like a big bass drum. And I can like hear the vibration and the like sound of like just being like my of like body motion against the drum. Ooh. Until I ended up like, I start hitting the drum. I'm creating the beat, and then I'm like, you drum. And like, so then we're both like, this person's drumming on my body, I'm drumming on the drum, and I came a bunch.
That's incredibly hot.
The same answer, the same ending to every story. I came a bunch.
I love that answer.
I love like incorporating percussion into play. Like, I cannot force it. I don't think I would ever like go into a situation expecting that, but like, When that spirit of stars rhythm align. Is there, oh, that is a wave I like to ride.
I mean, it also sounds like you have magnetized that a few times, because I've been drummed on once by happenstance, but you're a cum drum.
I'm a cum drum.
Also, just for our listeners, because I got that detail before. I was like, more details for the intro. And when he was like, oh, percussion, I was like you are the drum? You were just like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm the drum and I come. What?
Because you have to also understand, most of the time when my literal brain thinks something, people go, no. Like, that was the dumbest answer. And I was like, you're going right.
Yeah, you got it. Nailed it.
Like, do you know the term swinging dick? Like, that person is a swinging dick.
Like, very confident, like machismo?
Okay, you do know it. Okay. But also, it's attached to wealth, like financial wealth in a lot of ways. When I heard that term earlier today, my brain went through like 5 iterations and didn't get that one. It was like, and the first one was like, like a naked penis owner on a swing set. That was my first one. I was like, is that a fetish? I was like, I want to do that.
So sweet.
The literal playground. And then my second one was like, oh, someone who likes to helicopter? Like,
the next was like the Lindy Hop. East Coast swing or?
Well, no, the third one was like, oh, you mean like swingers, like a guy who's part of a swinger couple. It's like, no. And I'm like, stop making me guess. Like, just tell me. Oh, man. What other ways do you like to come?
I mean, I really do like with the drumming. I enjoy like having a sensory experience on like non-genital parts of my body.
Oh, yes.
And it's really just a matter of like following, like if someone's touching me all over, to just like, oh yes, there. Oh, it like right yeah. now it's right here. Okay. This it takes a lot of communication because I'm like reading my own body as things are happening. So yeah. it's like, yes, lighter touch, wider circles. Mm-hmm. Like, and I just have to like get there and till, you know, that's really fun. Other ways I like to come.
Wait, but first, were you always good at communicating like that? Or did you have to develop that skill? Or is it like, could you always, cause I used to have a really hard time with words when I was getting touched. Cause I was like,
I think as far as I can remember, I've always been a big communicator. Okay. Cool. I think that like the shortest distance between two points is saying exactly what I want. Yeah. And I am into getting what I want.
I love it. Okay. So speaking of what you want, other ways you like to come.
Sure. I really like role play as an improviser, as a performer. That's gotten to grand scales, like in terms of like time period.
Like, do you do costumes or is it all just talking?
I don't do okay. costumes. It's just like really just like setting the scene, yeah, yeah. like talking it out. Dirty talk similarly. I think like the best dirty talk I ever had was I was hooking up with an Irish person in Scotland who had responded to my
yes.
collecting accents yes. thing. And I was so impressed with like, I told him when we were messaging, I was like, I need you to be talking the entire time that we hook up. Like, is that agreeable to you? I will not be having sex with a man. I'll be having sex with an accent. Are you comfortable with that? You're going to be objectified specifically for your accent. And he's like, I'm here for it.
I was going to say, but he was there for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So excited. this is all laid out before. But I was like, tell me about fucking me. I think that was all the prompt that he had was tell me about fucking me. And he goes, it's 1804, Ellis Island. I get off a boat and I see you passing. I notice you right away, but it's my first day in the new world and I gotta get my feet, I gotta get my bearings. I was like, what? What? He goes, it's 5 years later. It's 5 years later.
You're like, I'm going to objectify you. He's like, I want to make a relationship.
It was so detailed.
I fucking love that.
Yeah.
How beautiful.
Can I keep going?
Please keep great. Going. Please keep going.
It was
going.
So good.
Yeah.
It's 5 years later. I'm in overalls with no shirt. I've got a huge block of ice in forceps, in metal forceps, and I take them to your residence. You open the door. You're in a beautiful brown dress with lace trim. You own your own business. You've got a soap company.
He made you a business owner.
In the 1800s New York.
So progressive.
That's what we met. I honestly don't remember the sex part of the story because the setup was so masterful.
That's so good. Incredible.
So good.
Wow.
So the dirty talk, the role play. I was in a show, not a famous one, but it was a Harry Potter parody about teen Voldemort. And I played Nagini, Voldemort's snake.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up making eyes with this Harry Potter tour guide. This is in Scotland. I was doing a lot in Scotland. They have a lot of Harry Potter tours there because it's where She Who Shall Not Be Named wrote the books.
Yeah.
So make eyes with this Harry Potter tour guide. We end up hooking up later in doing this like Voldemort Nagini role play that was so fucked up.
Can you share detail? Was there slithering or slitherins?
felt that in my body.
I'm into it. Was there any?
Me too.
I would be like, or is that more lizard? No, you'll be a snake with a tongue. Yeah, snakes stick their tongues out really fast.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's so much in role play stuff. Sometimes there's just like rules of the world that you have to figure out?
Yeah.
Because, like, within her, Nagini is a human who, like, takes snake form. So there's, like, many humanoid elements to my performance.
So you're playing pretend. We're adult humans playing pretend. Yeah. And when people, I mean, that's where I'm like, wait, so some pretend's okay and some pretend, yeah, okay.
Oh,
okay,
yeah, yeah. You know. And when I say fucked up, it's not like, it's not to say like, oh, it's wrong. Just like, how fucked up. I don't know. It's like an abstract meaning of it. Not steeped in shame at all, but just like, it's got weird. It got weird and that's fun. Like, and weird's fun.
So, do you identify as kinky? You were submissive with this foot dom. And has that lasted? And then I really want to know when you started playing with, like, group things and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
I asked too many questions at once.
No, all good. Kinky to me feels like just, like, you into alt shit? Like, yes. Power dynamic stuff, yes. I have only recently expanded my, like, self-identification in terms of, like, I was like, I'm a hard sub. I'm not a switch. I am not interested in doming. That does nothing for me. I am capable of doing anything, but it does not turn me on. It's not something that I would elect for myself. And then I domed a couple that I see. I was about to say per their request, but that's not true. I had an inkling.
Mm. When the vibe is there with the right person, yes. I think almost anything is possible for me. And it's very, very relational, and it's very different from, like, the whole, well, I no longer receive personal messages on FetLife, but the messages that I'll receive from, like, online submissives, which I think, you know, it's not the place to find them. In terms of if someone is, like, seeking me out and I didn't invite them into my sphere where it's like, mistress, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, go pay someone for that. Go pay a pro dom or pay me to be your pro dom, you know. But if the vibe is there and I'm attracted. So it just came up organically?
It came up, like, while I was fantasizing about them.
Mm.
And I was surprised and a little scared because I was, like, I really was, like, set in my ways about what I thought. I was really limiting myself.
Isn't it fun to discover?
Yeah, it was really fun. And I messaged them and was like, I'm having this type of inclination. And they're like, yeah, lean into it. Hi,
that's great.
And then was able to explore that on my own terms. I think that, like, when I thought about what a dom is, I had a pretty limited ideas. I've had many doms in my days, and I'm like, that's not really for me. But it's like, okay, well, how do you dom?
Yeah.
And there's like having sex with me, there's a playfulness to it. There's an authenticity to it. So it's not like I am a completely different person when I dominate. Yeah. It's like, I'm still Giovanni, but this is how it's going to go down.
Yeah.
I am so grateful for ongoing relationships. And that's something that I'm valuing more, I think, in this, like, part of my journey. And as a person who likes to discover things, that, like, there's a ton to be explored and played in at parties and in hookups and things like that. But, like, a recurring sexual relationship has some different opportunities.
Totally.
And I'm really glad that I've gotten to explore that part of myself.
That's so cool. What about more details on group play?
Yeah, I really like threes and fours. I think this is, like, these are nice numbers. The threes have been interesting because it's been changing. It started out very much like I would meet a couple and they would invite me to join them. And that's been great. And that's kind of like how I saw three ways. And then I've also, on a much rarer occasion, been in a couple that has a third, which for me is like, I don't know. I don't love it for whatever reason. I don't love it.
So far, we'll see.
Because
maybe there's a
happen.
Different.
Mm-hmm. Anything could happen.
I had a similar experience the couple times that I was, you know, with my former dom and we brought people in. I don't know. I really liked the ladies that we brought in, but the experience as a whole did not strengthen our relationship.
Mm.
And I, as a third, when I come in, like, really love to celebrate the couple. And I won't, like, I kind of, like, feel out for, like, are you guys solid? Is this going to be a party? Am I here to celebrate? And also, are you going to worship me too? You know, like, and if it's not that, I don't want it.
It can be scary when they're not solid. Yeah. It really doesn't feel safe. I've been like yelled at.
But, yeah, fuck that. I'm sorry
like,
to hear that.
Stuff that's like not cool.
Yeah.
Because people weren't ready.
Right. Well, and I am kind of like, I'm like, I don't really want to be your beginner person, but I know some ladies who work at legal brothels that'll help you.
Yeah. I'm like, and it's like, I want to protect myself. I want to be like, no first time couples, but like, I've had some first time couples
right
that are like,
with the right
that, that were totally ready
they
for
know
it.
That, yes.
And
yes.
totally yeah. were available.
But it's beginner
and like
energy
present for it.
Versus conscious people who are like, who are,
yes.
you know, and that's,
yes. And people who have done it before can have beginner energy.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So started out with this as couples, and my like really treasured things that's been happening lately is blending my partners and friends.
Wait, what does that mean exactly?
Well, it's taken different forms.
As but blenders
like,
do.
Yeah, but like introducing my partners who are from different worlds, I met them in different ways, introducing them to each other for group play is really special. It's so really cool. Nice. And then like I had a friend who was overwhelmed by one of the apps and was like, I can't possibly like sift through all these people. I'm interested in couples, but I also am uncomfortable with the idea of being outnumbered. They know each other and like I'll feel alone. And I was like, I see someone that I think the two of you would like each other. How would you feel about either I set you up with this person or maybe like you join the two of us? Like, how would that be? And this is just like my platonic friend. Like, we've never had a sexual connection. And she was like, I am interested in that. And we did that. And it was really nice. They got along great. Like, she and I already know each other. So she didn't feel outnumbered because there was really no real team of two.
Yeah.
She's my friend. Yeah. Like, this person's my sexual partner. Like, and then like they really connected on VHS tapes.
Okay.
Which is such an interesting specific that it's I didn't so know was like a big part of both of their
like they
lives.
Have collections or what?
My sexual partner is like a big collector and like lover of VHS tapes, and my friend came from a family who owned a VHS store. And like I didn't know this about either of them, and like they found it in the conversation. We're like, like oh really gosh. Got to like geek out together on VHS tapes. I was like, this is going great. Hey, yeah, it's just like, you know, introducing this person from a couple to this individual that I hook up with, and like this friend to this partner, and like just like finding different group dynamics in that. Or like two partners coming together. I had not been with two guys at the same time before. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how that would work dynamically, but like these are like people I have recurring, you know, meetups with. And I was like, I don't think that their energies like are super compatible with each other, but they both have a commitment to making me come. And having them both together might be a cool thing. Let's see what happens. Yeah. And like, they got along great.
What a wonderful experiment.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I had been interested in being with two guys, and I had lots of near misses on that. The times that I got close, it was like two friends who were like looking to have that experience with a third person, or like a gay couple, or like not gay, but like, you know,
they're a queer couple, two guys
yeah,
together.
A two male couple who is interested in like having sex with me.
Bi gay couple? What do you? Yeah, what do you call it?
Yeah,
bi couple of two penis owners.
Yeah, two penis having people. I thought it would be something like that. I did not think that I would be the person organizing and introducing the other two people. That like never occurred to me, and it happened quite naturally, and it was so sweet. And they like, as we were like getting into it, I'm like, oh, like, can you like hold my hips from behind, and like can you bring that mirror and like put it on the floor? And the person behind me is like, she's so good at asking for what she wants. And the other one's
That's
like
amazing.
I know, right? And then the two of them start like kikiing about like stuff that they like about me that I do during sex, which was like I'm been like, one, like, I was so happy of like, this is working out, like, this dynamic is working, and it's like a fairly complex dynamic. Yeah. But it's like, it's happening very smoothly, but also like, I'm being like praised for stuff that's cool about me.
As like, they're
during
like,
sex,
like, as they're pleasuring.
I know, oh my gosh. And they were both so excited too. And like, oh, there was this awesome moment where like, I'm like the, I don't know, the fifth time I came. Nobody else has come at this point. I'm coming for like that's the okay. fifth time. They were fine with it too. They were having a great time.
Yeah.
They were having a great time. So I'm coming again. And then they both go, good girl. As an auditorily stimulated yeah. person, hearing that from like two people I care about and that are like resonating with each other and like this, my wow. oh my gosh, that like mushed my brain a little bit. That was real cool.
That is fucking incredible. And you are a 4 on the shame-o-meter.
I wasn't right then. Right then, all I could think of was, this is absolutely amazing.
Shame-o-meters don't exist when you're coming.
No.
I mean, hopefully not.
Oh, no.
I mean, not
when
in
I'm coming,
summer.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
That's all that there yeah. is in the universe.
Yeah. Wow. That is so beautiful.
Yeah. I just like, I feel like in this chapter that I'm in, right, that I'm like, you know, stepping into or exploring right now, it's like more complex dynamics than I had thought. There's like more than I thought was possible. And there's intimacy in a different way than I anticipated. And I like exploring the layers of having multiple people who are being introduced that are connected by me.
Yeah.
There's something magical.
That is really magical.
About it. And it's been natural and unexpected. I don't think that I could have like gone on an app and said like, I'm looking to.
Yep.
That's
Dude.
Too much.
Well, this is where I'm in my own personal life. I'm like, I have this long bucket list. I do want to try all these things, but I honestly don't. I think I might just have to put it out there and see what mm-hmm. happens, because for me, seeking it ruins the fun of the surprise when mm-hmm. it comes up, you know? And I like you, like, I really love to see what is available and come across things, because I love kind of stumbling onto these things
yeah.
that if I tried to orchestrate it would be overwhelming, would be
yeah.
stressful. I'd be in producer brain mode. And it's like, if I'm making content, that's one thing. That's a different scenario, but it's completely different from being open to the actual sexy unfoldings of a person, of a dynamic, of a relationship, of a series of relationships, which it sounds like you are really just reveling in all these ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And there hasn't been a new person in a while.
Okay.
Like, I have like a lovely group of people
Amazing.
That I see and who are slowly coming to know each other in different contexts or not, which is
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And that's been a different style of exploring than I've had to continue exploring with multiple people.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like I'm in a relationship, or I'm in a poly relationship, or I'm like out on the town doing whatever the fuck. But this is different for me. It feels very right for where I'm at right now. Who knows how long it will last? You know, nothing's like,
everything always changes.
Yeah, everything always changes. And it's like, and I think because this happened so naturally, this particular chapter, I savor it, and it makes me excited for staying available and being surprised again in the future, hopefully forever,
yeah.
of like what intimacy can look like, what connection can look like.
Ugh, it's so beautiful. It's so yummy. Okay, aside from being excellent at asking for what you want, what else would you say you are the best at sex-wise, and how did you get to be so good?
I'm a very caring host. I really try to create an environment that will foster the most flowing dynamic. I want to create a setting where people feel really comfortable, they feel really taken care of, which includes lighting, snacks.
Snacks are so important.
Snacks are so important. Yeah. A selection of beverages, different surfaces. In performing, they'll talk about like using the space. Mm-hmm. I'll like use the space. Yes. Like I am continually inspired by different things and I'm not afraid to explore those things. So it's such a new experience every time. I asked a partner who was talking about like different people's kinks, like, what would you say my thing is? And he was like, oh, your thing is following whatever inspires you. So it's different every time. So it's like hard to say sometimes, like I'm not avoiding the question, but it really is like, where am I? Who am I with?
That's your answer.
Like connecting with the other person, really like feeling like whatever that magical flow is between us, like how can we, what can we like make from that? Like what wants to surface from that? Like without trying to force something, because I think that like if I go in with a kink, which is not bad. Sometimes I'm like texting about like, ooh, this is an idea I have. This is like something like that.
You're just going to be an accent. Yeah, but you didn't know what it was going to turn into soap. Through the soap seller.
I own my own soap company. I'm doing very well for myself in the 1800s. But like, if I stay really open, I can have like ideas about what I might want to do, but I feel infinitely flexible to what the convergence of our energies creates. And I think that that's my magic, is being a conduit for the magic that wants to be created.
Mmm, that's yummy.
Also, my blowjobs ain't bad.
Yay.
When I was coming up sexually, I was like really taking in a lot of information, watching tutorials, asking friends, like getting a lot of feedback. But I really put a lot of thought and care, like early on, into giving a masterful blowjob.
Amazing.
Cunnilingus, good, but like I didn't put in the time. I didn't put in the same amount of like time.
I am working on that in my 52 days of fucking. We'll see how it goes. I'm starting off with, well, at least the people who I think will say yes when I officially invite them are all pussy owners so far, and they know that I have been like low key wanting to do lesbian lessons, like where they where they teach me how to be a better, you know, and I've definitely made a lot of vulva owners come.
Yeah. Oh, same.
And the internal feeling, like I know that I will have more pleasure when I feel more confidence in these different ways. And that's where I'm at with blowjobs, because I've had ample opportunity, you know.
Yes, yeah.
And so
no shortage of
opportunities. You need a cock to suck, everyone. Like anyone.
Oh, there's one.
They're everywhere.
I think that like part of what's happened, like since I spent all of that time like learning about blowjobs,
studying,
which was you know also in a different time of my life where like I was equating like my worth with like what a man thought of me.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so yeah, it's yeah. Like, that was like, I'm sure ingrained into wanting to give a good blowjob was that like, well, I need to, you know, this idea of needing to like prove myself to a man. It's all going back to like the same, you know, the Christian shit we're talking about. But like, since then, I really just like don't feel beholden to any traditional definitions of what sex is. And I feel like sex is so full body, out of body, you know, it doesn't have to be even physical. There's a whole infinite world of physical things to explore. And then also like non-physical, and how can we explore with like, you know, percussion gives way to like things with like sound wave shit, which is cool. It's like cool to play with. So there isn't the same amount of importance to me on like genital stimulation that will lead to orgasm, because I feel like there's so many other ways to just experience meshing energy with other people and seeing what that yields.
Yeah.
Not even that has to be the reason. I don't know. I just like don't have the same relationship to orgasms or genitals that I once did.
Amazing. what else do you want to explore? Not that we're going to do it on purpose or anything like that, but just, is there anything that's like piquing your curiosity that you haven't yet delved into?
True love. like I feel really available for it in a real way for the first time. I don't know what that would totally look
like. That's what I was going to ask. I was like, do you know what it would look
like? I don't know what that would look like. And I think that what it will look like will be a total surprise to me.
Yeah.
I think that the package it comes in and the way that it is experienced in whoever I'm sharing it with, I think I'm going to be taken aback by the power of it and by the way that what's happening has never been presented to me. A lot of my favorite things that I've experienced, I don't think I've seen depicted in film, television, or pornography. Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. that love might be the same. Mm-hmm. And I want to release a lot of these ingrained ideas about what it's supposed to look like and how it's supposed to feel so that I can be available for that. And it is new to say that, to feel that, to want that. But that's where I'm at right now. True love.
Plus, remember when you were like, I want to travel around the world more?
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, yeah. When I say the things I want, I do tend to get them.
A powerful manifester. Oh, I love that. I really love that. Is there anything else about your sex life that we should know, that would be fun for us to know, that feels like delightful to share?
This couple really wonderful people, and I just was like, can I hide in the corner? And they're like, yeah. And I was just like, okay. Like, it wasn't, there's something about the energy of it that's what I treasure, is that I was like my little goblin self, yes. Which is like not always an energy that comes out unless I'm like very, very comfortable.
Yep.
It's not that I couldn't if I wanted to, but not everybody gets to see that.
Yeah.
But I was like, like, it wasn't like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. It was just like, like playfully mischievous. Like, I'm hiding in the corner and I'm watching. Like, that's so delightful to me. I'm like glad for that energy to come out, because it's like such an additionally authentic part of my sexual experience is the play of it.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
So,
and I think partners really like that. I mean, like,
yes.
Like, there's so much permission, especially like when I'm like, okay, so I'm talking to a person. Okay. Negotiation.
Yeah.
What do we want to do? Grown up stuff, health and safety. Okay. And now I'm like, now you're mine. You know, like, I'm going to have my way with you and you're going to be my toy now. Like this. And like, I actually do that with people a lot these days, because I actually get so excited and I feel more permission to share. But it's like, I love being like a crazy, sexy person once I feel safe. Like, once I feel the permission, once I feel like I have a play friend.
Yeah. You know? I want to talk about something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had an experience with a guy who was visiting from Amsterdam, but is Caribbean in heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And we danced so much in my apartment. And like, I dance for people. It makes me feel sexy. They get to watch something really spectacular. I like to connect with people on the dance floor in general. Like, I feel like that's a great way to vibe check with people. Mm. Like, if like the dance vibe is right, like usually like energy is, it would be shocking if the sexual energy was not on and the dance vibe was.
Yeah.
But I had never seen this person dance, but we were just like grooving in my apartment so naturally, so sensually. And then I heard the N-word for the first time in my home when he said, girl, you're gonna make a nigga feral. I was like, if it's gonna happen one time, that was the time. That was it.
How was that for you?
Awesome. I feel like my home was blessed. Christened.
And did you make him feral?
A little bit. A little bit. Yeah. It's cool. You know when their eyes kind of turn black? Yeah. Just like they go to another place.
Wow.
I dig it.
Wow. Do you feel like a powerful sexual creature? How do you kind of conceive of
your
own? I am
a powerful sexual creature.
Yeah.
Okay. 4-0.
We need it. I mean, and that's the beauty of, like, I think sharing for me the funnest parts of sexy stuff. I love talking about sex with people, obviously, you know, and there's a lot of complicated parts that come with it, and a lot of like shame crinkles that leads to, especially because I like it so much. I'm like, you don't, wah! You know, but I love it when people can recognize themselves. Okay. So question to a powerful sexual creature. What do we need to make the world a sexier, more loving place?
I feel like in American culture, we do not trust men. We just don't. We don't trust them with children. We don't trust them with women. And, like, not all people can be trusted. It's such a difficult thing to navigate because, like, you know, openness makes us vulnerable. But I wish that, like, a guy could was allowed to just, like, think a kid is cute without us being like, something's fucking wrong with you.
Yeah.
I feel like there's so much, hesitation is the wrong word, but there's like so much judgment around men in general and just like general distrust. I mean, I think like, oh, maybe some people would say like they've earned that, but like, I feel like we're all walking around scared.
Yeah.
And just good things do not come out of fear. So I don't know what the solution is. Like, my friend went to Quaker camp growing up, and it was clothing optional. This is a children's camp. And, like, these, like, kids would spend time nude together. And she was describing how powerful that was in her relationship with her own body and other people's bodies as well, to not see them as so mystified or like, you know, I think that like male genitalia has a like psychological pairing with violence for a lot of people.
Mm.
And that's a hard place to like create a sexier loving world from, then that's just like a reality of the way that people experience that. This isn't like an articulate answer, but I'm just like,
we
have a lot of fear and judgment and actual violence that happens. And it's like hard. I want to like lift shame. I want to lift shame about myself. I want us to be able to lift shame about ourselves so that we can inhabit the world in a way that's harmonious and not at constant odds with each other.
Yes.
I don't know how to do that.
I think so often about how that's pretty much the number one thing I noodle on all the time. And I just keep thinking about creating spaces, because it starts with one person at a time. It starts with two people at a time. It starts with three people at a time. And I know from my own personal experience that, I hear from more dudes than I hear from ladies. And I do hear from genderqueers and non-binary people, everyone in between. I was just talking to a guest recently who pointed out that there aren't necessarily spaces in our United States culture for dudes to come together in groups and talk about feelings or to talk about deeply intimate stuff. And so I'm a receptacle for that, for better or worse, you know. But I'm here to do that work, you know, to some degree, to the capacity that I can in the ways that are healthy for me. And I have gotten acquainted with so much sweetness from dudes who don't know how to connect with their partner, and maybe there's not an openness, or maybe there's a, you know, they are where they are in their journey. And I just continue to fantasize about creating more spaces that are not just sex-related play spaces, but that encapsulate our entire creativity, you know? Because for me, when my creative self started opening up, my sexual self started opening up, and they were very, very linked, you know? And I think that that is the gift that I, as an artist and a creator, can offer people. And so I'm not saying this is the answer, but I'm saying if there was a place where we had, like, educational workshops that normalize things and a place where people could like explore, create content. Maybe it gets destroyed. Maybe it ends up on OnlyFans. And then there's like the museum part, the educational part with kids, and there's the store, and blah, blah, blah. And somehow this is all paid for. So it's like available to everyone, but starting in these like smaller group spaces. And, you know, of course I've had friends that are like, you can't put kids in the same place that on the roof is a play space. And I'm like, but actually I think like in a world where we have healthy relationships to this and are actually building safety into it, which I think can be done if we have the right, you know, we have the technology to do it. We have the information. And I think it just has to start one ripple of love at a time, you know, and that's, I'm just like, I just want to do my part in making, taking care of each other the norm, you know,
yeah,
these little ways.
Yeah. I think we're desperate for more community.
Yeah.
I think like the simplest thing I can think of is just, I wish we were more open to having conversations with whoever.
It's hard for people.
And we've all been burned. We've all been burned by like, you know, just like talking to somebody who was not safe to talk to or not interesting to talk to or just like super intense to talk to.
And we don't have a culture of healing. Like, we don't have spaces we come together to heal regularly together. And it's sort of like, ugh, yeah, see, you can't trust them, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, because you've gotten burned, I've gotten burned, you know? But yeah. If there's resilience, if there's resilience.
If we are, there's like more like ease about just like, okay, that connection was not for me. And I don't even mean just like sexually, but just in conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, that connection was not for me. Because I will, like, after, like, a really unpleasant conversation at a party, I'm ready to leave the party.
Yeah.
I don't want to, I'm like, I don't, you're like, I don't like this. I don't like the energy here. I want to leave. Which is valid. It's fine. But, like, I don't know. I'm, like, trying to, like, how do we navigate open to each other?
Yeah. There's no perfect solutions, but we can noodle through it and then hopefully hold each other in the difficult times too, you know? And I think just creating space for humans to be human. I'm hearing so much judgment in conversations, self-judgment, the shoulds, lots of shoulds. I would love to, every time we say a should, I just replace it with a could, and then we get a good reason why, you know? It teaches us about ourselves. Okay, wrap up with a couple fantasy questions.
I love fantasies.
We suddenly lived in a world where for 2 years of every fresh adult's life, you know, you had to serve as a sex worker in some capacity. Any kind of sex worker you want, how would you serve? It's your civil duty.
Part of me is like, I want to let people explore giving me pleasure. Like,
I love that.
I think that like, in its simplest form, they would get a kick out of it. Seeing me come is a really splendid thing. I think that like that confidence will like help people on their journeys as they go forward. Yes. I guess in my mind, I'm picturing that they're like early in their journeys too. I don't know.
Probably.
This is what I'm creating, but like I want people to feel the sensation of giving a powerful sexual person pleasure.
Yes.
And for them to take that into their lives.
I love that.
And like, I think that I could offer such a special experience that's not, it's not how well do you eat pussy. It's like, let me assess your energy, our dynamic, what's coming off of you, and like show you.
Yeah.
What can happen with that? And it's going to blow your mind. I think that's a really cool gift I can give.
It is. I think it's an amazing gift. Okay, lastly, if you had an unlimited budget.
God, I feel like I'm going to look back at that answer and be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I think it's a great, no, literally.
My gift is you giving me an orgasm.
I mean.
But I mean, it is.
I mean, I've gotten to do that, and it's pretty fucking great.
Yeah, it's cool. Like,
it's pretty fucking great.
It's cool.
There's nothing more generous. Because what I'm also hearing in that answer is sharing your authenticity. I think that is probably one of the top fears I hear from people who reach out to me, you know, wanting to please another person. And there's that, like, underlying fear of, like, what if I'm not good enough? What if they're faking it? you know, or there's so much pressure both directions to perform a certain way.
Yes.
And it's fucking everyone up. A certain act, a certain way, a certain, to be in charge of a thing instead of being collaborators. That's what I want, is to foster communities of collaboration and a culture of collaboration, which, I mean, why do you think the artists are having the sexiest sex?
No.
Not all of them. Hashtag not all artists, but.
I want to talk about some general fantasies.
Yeah.
A sapphic orgy with many POCs.
Yeah.
I go to a lot of international circuses and like.
Oh my God.
These are artists that I don't get to connect with. A lot of them are not English speaking. This is like connecting with other artists is like. Oh, the creatives. It's not the only way to find like really cool collaborations, but like there is something that is innately understood, I think, by
it's
like
nice when
dancers
I don't have to, like, be
and
the can opener
painters
and, like,
and yeah, there's like a certain connection to the abstract that makes you sexually
And the exploration and the moment and the present and the let's see and the the co-creation. Yeah. For those of you not watching, there were lots of like expansive hand gestures.
Just so available. Like, yes, infinitely available to like things you've never seen before from the creative spirit. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
A sapphic orgy with many POC. Something with circus performers.
Yes.
Even just a party, just a hanging out party. I don't want to chat with them and see what's up.
I want to pet their muscles.
I feel like there's like a whole bunch of pet some muscles with one finger.
Just one at a time. I would trace it. I'm imagining them like standing. Maybe I don't speak their language. I don't know, but I have permission somehow to just like appreciate their human form however they want.
Like,
just saw some acrobats. Just saw a troop of acrobats. And the whole time I was like, oh my God, so it's like giant muscly dudes plus a couple of like basses who I want to play their bellies and I want to have an orgy with all of them. And also they're making a pyramid. They're like man cheerleaders and doing flips and doing limbos. And all I can imagine is like just lining them up and everything.
Strength, creativity, connection to one's body, connection to other people's body, being like
playful spirit.
A playful spirit, an awareness of what it means to manipulate someone else's body.
Yeah.
That kind of like physical collaboration.
Oh my God. There was like one guy with a contortionist and the two of them dancing together in the next scene. I was like, oh my God. Like,
I'm trying to find play parties with people that have many gender expressions.
Yeah, the queerest ones.
Yeah, the queerest ones. It's like hasn't been that easy to find.
Would you go to a play party in the daytime?
Yeah.
I'll work on it.
Okay.
Mark your calendars for the summer solstice.
Great.
Although it's a Friday, so I don't know if people would do in the daytime, but I'm thinking, I personally am not a late nighttime person. Mm-hmm. The reason I struggle with play parties is because it seems like they all get going around midnight.
Yeah.
And
they start at 10 and they take off at 10, like 12:30.
Yeah. Yes. And that's when I'm like, I'm expiring. Mm-hmm. Like I love the sun. I have a healthy, regulated body that is circadian rhythmed. So like I'll stay up for work if I have to. But like for me, that's not play. Like that feels like work. And then my whole fucking life is messed up because I'm off my rhythm. So I am diligently working toward afternoon delight play all day.
Afternoon delight.
And I'm like, maybe it is like a Saturday morning to Sunday afternoon situation, so the nighttime people can come in too, you know, in my grandest vision of it. Because I'm like, that's hot.
I'm interested in like a weekend away with a group of people who like are all being vouched for. I don't need to know every single one of them, but like everybody's being vouched for as like the right energy for this type of party. Because in the spirit of that, like, recurring partner dynamic to, like, have time hanging out. Yeah. I love having sex, like, at this age that I'm in. And my partners are of a similar age, late 30s, early 40s, around there, where there are breaks built in. Where, like, there's time to, like, hang out, cuddle, have snacks, hydrate.
Intimacy, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, get horny again.
Yeah, and then, like, get back into it.
Get in a hot tub.
Yes, and I, like, love that. And I feel like there's so much beautiful intimacy and like great connection that happens in the breaks that I think would be ever more expanded by a weekend away with one group of people.
Yes.
And you're getting to know people's style, and you maybe like on the first night you see them with another person doing something that inspires you about something else, but you have like time to articulate it or to kind of like check that person out at breakfast and like kind of see what their vibe is and like, oh yeah, okay, we're having a great conversation about VHS tapes. Maybe at lunch I pitch my weird thing and, you know, whatever. Like
you see what unfolds. It's a space for this. Dude, okay, so that is why I am properly learning OnlyFans and doing 50 Days of Fucking, because I really want to have a space where like, I don't know if it's allowed to be. I was just talking to my lawyer because I was like, what would I need to make this dream a reality? Like, how do I, you know, he's like, you're going to have an issue with zoning unless it's fully personal forever. He's like, if you ever want to charge people to go to this thing, which I'm like, oh yeah, what version am I going to get? But I really just want a house where I can do creative retreats. So there would be like different groups. When I was growing up, we went to family camp every summer. And so it was a week, you know, and they had different sessions throughout the summer, but we would go the same week every summer with other families. And so you'd meet them and get to know them over the years. And I'm like, what if there was like a monthly version or a quarterly version or something that's these like smaller bite-sized pieces? That's what if I had a space where I could take pictures of people and then we paint and then we create.
Yes,
and
the
then
someone's art drawing. Part of it, I
that's,
love.
That's what I love so much. I love
being drawn. And like my friend was just telling me about a party that he threw where like – it was clothing optional, a group of friends who like were acquainted, but it was all artists and it was like, we're all drawing each other tonight. And so just some people are naked. You didn't take breaks from drawing, of course, but it was like, this is a clothing optional party.
Fun.
Like, I like platonic nudity. As well, like, I mean, in addition to sexual nudity, sure.
But some of my favoriteest photo shoots are in the past when I've been like, all right, group boudoir, like, who chip in, we're going to get a space, and, you know, and then I get to be naked or half naked or where, you know, because I'll photograph myself in between other people, or sometimes people will be taking pictures of me, and so it's like, that's what I'm going to get started. I mean, there's a bunch of peer spaces and stuff around here, but if you want to say my dreams come true, go support me on OnlyFans, lovers. Okay, so in the spirit of that, if you had an unlimited budget to create your perfect play space, palace, castle, studio, whatever it is, what would it be like?
There would be many different zones. You have to have like lots of different opportunities for indoor, outdoor, hard spaces, soft spaces. I do love like a giant couch.
Yeah.
With like a big ottoman that makes the couch basically a huge bed. Yes. I like soft things. Not everybody does. I stayed at an Airbnb that had what was called an Olympic-sized hot tub. It's not an Olympic. There's no Olympic sports that happen in hot tubs, but it was an absolutely enormous hot tub, I think, for like 16 people.
Oh, yeah. Was it a circle? What shape was it?
It was a rectangle.
Rectangle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really long hot tub that was – it was on a farm. So there were like horses and chickens and stuff like around outside. The night sky was absolutely incredible. And me and my friend that I was staying there with got blankets and laid on top of the hot tub on this like cold night, looking up at the stars, so warmed by the hot water beneath us.
Oh my God.
That was next level. But I want elements like this.
Yes.
It's just like, you want to be outside and warm. You want to be inside and cold. I don't know. Yeah. I set that up.
Ice sauna. I love it.
Yeah, why not? Ice room, a little cool down, whatever.
Next to the steam room.
A dance floor.
Yeah, cold plunge.
I wish there was like a really simple encapsulation, but just like
indoor, outdoor, keep throwing them out there. Yeah. And snacks.
Snacks like you wouldn't believe. Every kind of cheese. It's mostly the budget goes to the cheeses.
The finest cheeses you ever tasted.
And the shitty ones, too.
The stinkiest cheeses.
Sometimes those really cheap cheeses are nostalgic. I love it. Yeah, every kind of cheese.
Every kind. I just saw a thing where there was a cheese. You know how they have the sushi on the little conveyor belt?
Oh, yeah.
There's a place now in London that has a cheese conveyor belt. Little cheese plates. So you just take them. So
cute.
I'd have that. Every kind of cheese.
Cool.
Lovers. You can find Giovanni on Instagram at Giovanni, J-I-V-A-N-I.
Nope.
Damn it. J, J, I can't spell out loud.
You can find me on Instagram at Giovanni, J-I-A-V-A-N-I.
Isn't that what I said? No.
You said something else.
Okay. I'm actually terrible at spelling. As I was doing it, I was like, why are you doing that? I was like, just picture it in your head and say what you see. And I did it wrong.
It's okay. I was here.
That's perfect. So good. See? We just need a world where taking care of each other is the norm. Giovanni, thank you so much for being a guest on Sex Stories.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, everybody.
Lovers, that is our show. If you know a friend who would like this episode, please take a second to share it with them now. 52 Days of Play is underway, and there are so many fun ways to support and shape this next year of content. For example, if you would like private, behind-the-scenes audio updates that include my sex stories, fantasies, work noodles, plus virtual co-working sessions, and a place to share your wins and wishes out loud Monday through Friday during the 52 Days of Play, join me on Patreon at patreon.com/YOLE. For the video versions of these private shares, along with exclusive daily live voyeur cam access where you can spy on me while I create, as well as interactive lives Monday through Friday, plus a mix of exclusive early access and behind-the-scenes photo and video shares during my 52 days of slutty creations, join me on OnlyFans at onlyfans.com/YOLE. Or, to just see teases and unlock one by one, join me on my free OnlyFans page, onlyfans.com/YOFree. For private messages, calls, or video, you can also find me on sexpanther.com/YO. If you're not into the sexy stuff, you might want to sponsor a segment. Let me dedicate a daily wiggle, masturbation meditation, or a solo research episode to you, your boo, or your brand. You pick the topic or noodle and co-create with me. Details are on my website, yolee.com/52. I am also super into parallel play. Tell me, what does your hot person spring into summer look like right now? I'd love to hear what player pleasure you are noticing, practicing, or growing, or you can always answer one of my questions, ask me one of your own, or share a story via yolee.com/share. I especially love voice memos, but emails I can read on update episodes are also great. I would also love to know, what adult creator would you like to see me play with during my 52 days of play? Tell me so that I can send them an invitation by emailing xstoriespodcast@gmail.com. And I am accepting new photography clients now until the end of June. Details about how you can work with me are all on my website, yolee.com, and the link is in the description below. And sexstoriespodcast.com will always take you straight to the podcast landing page, or I guess I should say directly, because nothing I do is really straight. For those of you who don't know, X Stories is a completely independent creation. I fund the production of this podcast through my work as a content creator, photographer, and sex worker, and I appreciate each and every one of you that understands that your contribution to my work, whether it's Patreon, OnlyFans, or a creative session, photo shoot, voice memo, or written story for me to share, it is incredibly meaningful to me. My work is what lights me up in life. And my goal is to continue to create things that are also meaningful to you. So hearing from you helps me shape what I do. And when I don't hear from you, I feel like I'm just speaking into the void. So if you love this podcast and want it to continue, please let me know by leaving us up to 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. And for my birthday, I would love a thoughtful review on Apple Podcasts that lets others know why you love listening to Sex Stories. I'm looking forward to getting to know more of you and going deeper during those 52 days of play. Remember, if you want to work or play with me, my website, yolee.com, is where you can find details of all that I do. Thank you for listening. Thank you for spreading ripples of love. Please take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Remember to hydrate, wiggle, and breathe. And may you be brave enough to share yourselves and your stories in the name of lovely human connection.